Sunday morning. And once a month, we do what we call Youth Sunday, where we encourage our young people to get involved in ministries. So you'll see different young people doing different things today. And how many of you know we need you older people to get involved too? Well, I heard one person clapping. Can we do it again? We need older people to get involved too. So everybody has a place in the body of Christ, and we encourage you, if you haven't found your place, what God is calling you to do, please have a conversation with us, because we can definitely help you do that. It takes the whole body working together, young and old. Amen? So today I have Linnea with me, and she'll be helping with announcements. Our first announcements, all you ladies, pay close attention. We have our annual women's conference this Saturday. I'm so excited every year. It just grows. It's a great turnout. And we're starting at 10 a.m. And our afternoon speaker, I always do the morning. Afternoon will be Sister Wagers. She is a powerful, dynamic speaker, very entertaining. So if you've never heard her, you do not want to miss it. It will be great. This year, for the first time, we are also doing breakout sessions. So we have five different sessions that you can pick from. And that morning when you come in to register, we'll have you pick a session. It's going to be a great, great day, and it's free. You can't beat that, right? So we are going to take an offering to cover the cost of the speakers and bless them. So come prepared to give, but if you can't give, it doesn't matter. We want you to be here. But if you can give, please come prepared to do so. And that is this Saturday, 10 a.m., and we are looking forward to seeing you there.
Next, Brother Wagers will be preaching next Sunday morning. We will be receiving a special offering for him in that day.
So you get to hear Brother Wagers and Sister Wagers in the same weekend. It'll be great. All right, and then also, all of you kids, we have Talent Expo practice today for the kids and the teenagers. So hopefully you packed a lunch, or you can send your parents to get you something. So stay after church, eat a quick lunch, and be practicing for Talent Expo. If you want to go watch and support the kids, it is in Zanesville this year, and that'll take place on March 23rd, and that is also going to be our Bible quiz day for the month. So all of that will take place in Zanesville. If you'd like to make a trip, it is very, very good to see the kids using the gifts for God.
We will be having an Easter choir again this year. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you'd like to join. Practices will start Tuesday, March 12th at 7:30.
All right, and at this time, we have Pastor Caleb and Xavier coming on up. Can we give Linnea a hand and give Xavier a hand as he comes?
You don't know his name, you're fixing to. All right, this is Xavier. This is my man. I'll tell you right now, this is a young man that in our youth sanctuary, he's not going to wait for you to get up and worship and talk about Jesus and express his love for Jesus. He's going to get up and do it, and if you don't follow him, he don't care. All right? So this morning, we're going to let Xavier open up service.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Morning, everyone. Well, today I am going to talk about David and Goliath. Many years ago, King Saul's army, the Israelites, were facing the Ninevites. The Israelites were going to face the Ninevites, but the Ninevites offered to face their toughest champion, and they send their champion out. He was big. He was mean. His arms were big as tree trunks. His arms were stronger than Hercules. His legs were bigger than trees. His feet made the entire earth shake, and his name was Goliath. He said with a big booming voice, "I am Goliath, the giant, and all of you are King Saul's little servants. I challenge your toughest and bravest man. If he beats me in war, we will surrender and become your servants. But if I win, you all become our servants forever." So no one else wanted to fight Goliath because they were all too scared. But there was one boy who was brave enough to do it. His name was David. He wasn't like a soldier, or He had no armor. He had no sword. He had no shield. He only had a slingshot and some stone. He was only a shepherd boy, but he had God on his side because he had everything. He had everything he needed because he had. Sure, he wasn't like a soldier, but he only had God on his side, and God's armor was the only thing he needed. So he faced Goliath. He beat Goliath with one stone, and he became king. And he married King Saul's daughter, and that's how he won the day. So when we're going through life, and we have a lot of giants to face, we have to face them with courage, honor, and respect, and with bravery. So when we have trouble, we gotta do what we gotta do to fix it. Because even though when we have problems, we gotta do something about them, even though we don't. Because I help my parents a lot all around the house because I know they need some help. So when I see some of my friends at school, I always help them out and show them what it means to be a good friend.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do this. As a pastor, a youth pastor, it's not my goal to go back there and run service every Wednesday. It's not my goal to go back there and lead worship every Wednesday. It's not my goal to go back there and open up service and run everything every Wednesday. Why? Because I'm not equipping young people to do these things. I'm not equipping them for ministry. But it's my goal back there on Wednesdays to see these young kids come up and say, yeah, I'll give a word. Yeah, I'll lead worship. Yeah, I'll run slides. Yeah, I'll take attendance. Yeah, I'm going to bring people here to be saved. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do for my God. So when I see this, someone coming up here, a young man especially, we got a word from God there Wednesday night about the boys, because we've seen an influx in our young men and their relationships with Jesus and the things that's taking place in their lives in the youth department. And I got to tell you, the slack and the tension is not there like it was a year ago with women carrying the weight in our, and I mean this, in our teens. They may outnumber us sometimes, but you know what? My young boys back there are being built up in Christ, and they are openly expressing it. They are answering questions. They are volunteering to do things. They are laying hands on people, okay? And they're doing exactly what he did this morning. So I'm going to tell you right now, church, be ready, because we're not bringing people up here just to come and sit behind you. We're bringing people up in here from the teens that are ready to come alongside you, right? And we're going to do this thing we call church together, and we're going to lead people as one generation, not many, one generation of Christ Jesus, and we are going to bring people to know him. And that is what we're doing in this place. So this morning, if you would stand, I'd like to pray over our morning tithes and offering. The ways to give are posted behind me. So let's pray. Father God, we just love you this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us once again just before you, God, at your feet, Lord, where we can just give you all that we have, Lord. Now today, in this service specific, God, we pray, Lord, that you just be magnified, God, and exalted, God, for the people walking in this door that are struggling, Lord, with their personal issues, God. We command that volume control to be turned down in them, God, but the Jesus channel be turned up today. And Lord, we just thank you today for these morning tithes and offerings, God, as the body just sows into your kingdom. We ask you, God, to bless these things, bless those that are here with us and online who are giving this morning and those who cannot. And we give the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
lifted me up. I stand on higher ground. Your praise rose in my heart. Name is valley. Laughter. My morning is in dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. Oh, this is how we overcome. 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 We have turned morning into dancing. You have turned sorrow into joy. You have turned morning into dancing. You have turned sorrow into joy.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Break every chain.
to put our faith into action. Amen. I just want you to begin to call upon the Lord about the situations in your life that you need a breakthrough in this morning, that your family needs a breakthrough in this morning. And I just want you to speak it out. Just lift your voices and worship Him and say, Lord, I thank You that You're moving on my behalf in this situation. Amen. There's power in His name this morning. He doesn't want us to walk alone. Amen. If you need to get a brother or sister beside you to pray with you this morning, there is no situation too difficult for Him to move in this morning. There's power in Your name. Hallelujah. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Thank you.
Something amazing in this place right now. His presence is here, healing, delivering, and setting the captives free. That's why Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up to do a work in our lives, because that's what he wants to do. It's what the Word of God declares he's going to do. It's up to us then to receive it by faith. Do we believe that Jesus wants to do it, and then do we receive that work in our life by faith and accept that it's done? And God just began to speak to me, and there's a few things I want to declare to you and do before we move in the order of the service. We're going to move on because God's got a word. He's already preparing our hearts for it right now, and God's got a word he wants to speak this morning. It's very important. But there's something he wants to do first, and that is to form his body together. Pastor Lish is going to be preaching on the body this morning, and he's been bringing things together this morning underneath his name. So I want you to get a hold of this. His name has been given to us, because the church is his bride. So his name has been given to us. We, as the body of Christ, are the bearers of his name. And at that name, all of the earth and everything below the earth and everything above the earth has to submit and bow to that name. Now, I bear the name Turner, and I could walk into a bank and say, well, I'm a Turner of the West Virginia Turners. And they would say, so what? Big deal. I've never heard of you. But there are some people, like maybe the name Carnegie, that rings a bell for people, or maybe you younger ones, Kardashian. You know, that bears weight. People know that name. They know you come from money. They know that that money has power, has clout. I want you to understand what we're singing and praising about this morning. That the only name whereby we must be saved or rescued is the name we carry. The name that has all power in heaven and earth is the name we carry. See, we do this church thing too much sometimes. We just do this church thing too much sometimes. And we sing about Jesus, and we talk about Jesus, and we preach about Jesus until we've bored ourselves and forgotten the power that rests in that name of Jesus. And we already sang about it before we started singing about the name. Why is the name so powerful? Because of his blood that was shed underneath of that name. That breaks everything. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family right now. I declare the name of Jesus over my life. Everything has to bow and submit. You have some spirit trying to mess with you. You just look at him and say, oh, did you forget? I'm of the Jesus people who hail from Bethlehem,
was raised in Nazareth of Galilee and went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil. Have you forgotten who you are this morning? So here's the two things I heard the Holy Spirit saying. We're going to do this. First and foremost is, some of you think that you bear the name of Jesus based on how good you are. You live a performance-based life. What does that mean? Well, it's based on how good you're doing. Well, how good am I? And, you know, I mean, I have to be righteous and I have to be holy. No, Jesus is righteous and Jesus is holy. And when you submit to Him, He makes you righteous and holy. Don't do it yourself. It's not based on your performance. So that chain is being destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. You've been bound by that. It's held you back, and you keep tripping up over the same thing over and over and over again because you think your life is performance-based by bearing the name of Jesus. No, Jesus knew where you were when He gave you His name. Don't forget the mess He found you in. And He said, hey, I'm going to marry you. Me? Yeah. But you don't understand. I'm a mess. I know. That's why I'm marrying you. It's not performance based. And you are all broken and busted up in your body because you think it's performance based. It's not. He's given you His name. So the anointing of Jesus Christ doesn't just break. If you study it, it destroys. It destroys that yoke of bondage. So it's no more how good you are doing and how good you are. It's all about Jesus Christ in your life. The other thing I saw as we were singing about breaking the chains and then we began to sing the name of Jesus, I saw the valley of the dry bones that Ezekiel saw. And the army that God raised up just by prophesying to the bones, He was releasing a prophetic word to bring back an army to reestablish the bodies of those individuals to become one army moving forward in one goal. And the chain that had a grip on them was death. But God overcomes death and gives us life by the name of Jesus. So get this. This is for the American church, and I prophesy to the American church. We've been dealing with this on Wednesday nights a little bit, and sometimes we can get a bad attitude about the American church if we're not careful. It becomes really bleak. So I'm going to prophesy to the dry bones of the body of the American church. You see, we've gotten so separated and segmented that we've killed ourselves and death has got a hold of us. But God told the prophet to prophesy to the bones. And when he did, they came back together. Are you seeing the picture? I see this picture in my mind. Of no longer this church, that church, we're this church, we believe the blah, 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 blah. The church of Jesus Christ in America is coming back together. I prophesy this in the name of Jesus. Bone upon bone, flesh upon flesh, muscle is coming back. It's going to function like the body of Christ once again. A mighty army He's raising up because the pronouncement of death did not come from the Father. It came from the enemy. And we are no longer believing that word, but we declare by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free, and that yoke is destroyed by his anointing, that we're not segmented and we're not separated and we're not fighting against ourselves and devouring ourselves anymore, but we're coming together in the name of Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to grab the hand of the person next to you, because we're in unity together. And we're going to pray for unity. First of all, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters. I have some requests this morning. I was told when I got here, Sister Abby Powers needs our prayer this morning. There's other people I know need our prayer this morning. There's people been going through sickness in their body. There's people going through emotional and mental things in their soul. There's people that need deliverance in their spirit. We're going to pray for them first. And then we're going to pray for the church, that we would unify and do what we need to do. You see God just bringing things together this morning. Even the young and the old, just bringing us together this morning. God's just giving us a picture of his body coming together so we can function. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, by your authority and your name, we destroy the yoke of bondage of performance on people, where they think they have to be good enough, they have to do this good enough. That is being released in their life right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing of the soul, healing of the body, healing of the spirit right now. We thank you for making people whole in the name of Jesus. You see every name that's in the mind of people in this building. We lift them up right now. You see every need that's in these people. We lift those needs up right now. In the name of Jesus, we give them to you. And God, we know that you will answer because you're faithful. Now, Father, you see the landscape of your church in America, and you see the landscape of our nation. And so goes the church, so goes the nation. So God, I thank you right now that you're bringing unity to your body. We declare it. We prophesy to the bones first for them to come together right now. Just as you formed Adam from the dust of the ground, you are reforming, a reformation, a reforming of the American church right now. God, we are turning back to our first love right now. Hallelujah. We're coming back to you, Jesus. And it's all about you, Jesus. Not about what we like, what we want, what flavor is our favorite. It's all about you, Jesus. We prophesy it to this church right now. We are coming together in unity. You're bringing your body together. Just as you formed Adam, just as you brought the bones back together, the valley of dry bones. We thank you, Lord, for doing this. We receive it with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. And we profess it and proclaim it by faith right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and give him thanks. Come on, give him thanks even before you see the victory. Give him thanks before you even experience the victory right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated if you wish to be this morning. I love Youth Sunday. I love when the body of Christ comes together and is working and functioning together, and so proud of those who have came up here and just shared what God put on their heart or did whatever they've done. Linnea giving announcements. That's not easy, you know. I mean, who remembers the day when you got called on to read in your class from the textbook? Anybody, you just love that? Oh, yeah, no one ever raised their hand to volunteer to read. That's what you're doing up here. My wife did. She liked to read. But that's what you're doing when you read announcements. And so that kind of nerve-wracking. And then, so Linnea did a wonderful job. And then Xavier expounding on David and Goliath and just stirring us up to praise. How many of you know that David is the praiser, right? And because he was a praiser, he knew he'd won the victory. Amen. I got to stop. I'm going to start preaching. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, how many of you have ever read the verse where it says you need to be instant in season and out of season? Right? Well, I had had someone lined up to help me, and they found out they couldn't come, and so I didn't have a young person to share a testimony this morning, so then I asked somebody here today before church started, and she said she would do it. So why don't you give Sister Paisley a hand as she comes up to share a testimony?
I have a testimony. So when I was back in class on a Wednesday night, I thought that the Holy Spirit was only for like older teens, and that as a kid you can't have it, and that it would just not be good for you. And then I was just sitting there praying, and it just hit me, and I got the Holy Ghost. So then I went to my grandma's house because we had a date, and my mom came and picked me up. And we were on the topic of Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And mom said, "Paisley, do you have the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "Yeah." And she went, "What do you mean you have the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "On Wednesday night, I got it." And she said, "Show me." And I started praying, and God just kept putting words in my mouth. And I prayed, and mom was so amazed because I never had it, and I finally got it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there's no baby or junior Holy Spirit. That's why young people can do what old people can do. And the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. And sometimes they do a better job because they just trust Jesus. We have all these issues because of baggage that we carry of all trust stuff. But, man, they just trust Jesus. I'll never forget, we had a young man hurt himself at camp, and it looked like his ankle was broken. And there was a little guy. This was teen camp, but his dad was there working, so he was there. I mean, he was little. And he walked over and put his hand on that ankle because we asked him to pray for him. We were praying, and he just walked over, put his hand on the ankle, and he said, the boy's name was Ryan. He said, "Jesus, heal Ryan and give us all Kool-Aid." And wouldn't you know, Ryan looked up and he said, "Guys, my ankle doesn't hurt anymore." Now, it was still swollen. He starts walking on that thing, and all of a sudden he puts all his weight on it. He's jumping up and down on the ankle. He just rolled. We thought for sure it was broken. And he's like, "I'm telling you, God healed me. I'm good." So we all went and got some Kool-Aid. It's that simple, church. It's just faith. Jesus, he was almost like, "All right. Let's get this over with so we all have some Kool-Aid," right? We operate in the same spirit, and that Holy Spirit wants to fill you and speak through you and give you languages, amen? Thank you for that testimony, Sister Paisley. Well, this time we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have a teen class back there that they're doing a discipleship study, and we have our Firehouse kids. I think it's ages 6. Is that where it starts, 6 to 12? And then we have a preschool and a nursery. If you want to take your baby to nursery, you're welcome to do so. Hasn't it been good to be in the presence of God thus far? God's just doing some great things in here. And I want to tell you, God is preparing our hearts to receive this word this morning. Now, that's not what worship is just for. We praise God, we worship God because we should. Right, and we want to do it together in fellowship. And so we start out singing as an easy way to praise God. We clap our hands to praise God. We lift our hands to praise God. It's all just to give God glory and praise. He deserves that. And so we do that. But at times when we begin to do that, it begins to prepare our hearts. And all the songs we were singing, I just begin to see God really working in the body. And as you remember, last week we started a series on wholeness. This morning, we're going to talk and focus on the body and how God wants our body to be whole. And so why don't you give your pastor, Alicia, a hand as she comes to share the word of God with you this morning.
Thank you. I want to share a little bit of that story about Ryan that Pastor Joe didn't share this morning. But after Ryan said, hey, it's good, it doesn't hurt anymore, the director of the camp was like, we still need to take you to get checked out, right? Because we want to make sure everything's good. So they went to the emergency room, and the x-ray, the doctor came in and said, well, it shows that it was broken. You must have broken it years ago or something, but it shows that it used to be broken but it's healed. And Ryan said, I have never broken that foot. It has never been healed until right now, and God just did it. That is the God that we serve. He is still a God of miracles. He is still a God that is in the healing business. And so I'm so excited to be a part of what he's doing. He's a mighty, mighty God. So I want to recap. Last week, Pastor Joe talked about wholeness overall, and God wants us to be whole. And I truly believe he wants it more than we want it. Because if his children are not whole, we cannot do what he's called us to do. And so he has given us everything we need to walk in wholeness, to live in wholeness, to be complete and whole people. But the question is, are we willing to do what it requires? Or are we willing to settle and live broken? I don't want to be broken. And I want to recap also last week, Pastor Joe made the statement, I loved it. It said, Jesus didn't just heal one issue. He healed their whole life. And so they may have come with blindness, but Jesus didn't just deal with the blindness. He dealt with the sin that was underlying in their life. He dealt with anything that was holding them back so that they could move forward in complete wholeness and healing. And it changed their entire perspective. And that's what God does. You might come with one issue, but you're going to leave with an entire different view of life, a different view of the world, if you get a hold of who he is. And that's what he wants to do in us. And this morning, I want to start by sharing an experience I had with God this week. And then I argued with God when he said I should share it today. I'm like, God, last time I was up there and preached, I talked about stuff that was with me personally, and I don't want to do it again. But how many of you know it doesn't pay to argue with God? Like he's not going to change his mind. So I'm like, all right. So often I will go to God and say, just search me. Search me and show me. And it's not usually show me if there's something in me. It's show me what you want to deal with in me, because how many of you know we're not perfect. So there's always something God's wanting to deal with. So I make that a regular practice to lay before God and say, search me. What do you want to show me? What do you want to deal with? And this week, as I was talking to him, he showed me that there was something in my subconscious, which I didn't even know was possible. He said, you know, you think, you would say, you would tell people that this is the way it is, but subconsciously, this is really how you feel about it. And I was like, what? Like, how do I even deal with that if I don't even know it's there? But now I know it's there because he's bringing it to light. And so what I wrote this down. I said, do I trust God? Every conscious part of me would say yes. But God revealed a subconscious area that says no. When he pushes me or stretches me to do things that are hard, I feel like I just have to get through it. I'm not going to tell him no, but man, I'm like, all right, I just have to get through. I just have to get past Sunday. I'm preaching Sunday. I just have to get past it, right? And last time I preached, I stood up here and I said it was an honor, and it truly was, because consciously I was thinking, man, I'm getting to a place where I really trust God with this, and even though it used to be hard, it's getting easier and it's better. Well, wouldn't you know, this week I'm preaching Sunday and I'm preaching Saturday and I'm doing a breakout session Saturday. I'm like, whoa, God, this is a little too much. You're pushing me a little too far. This is a little too hard, and I trust you, but... And right there was that subconscious thing that God says, we need to deal with that. Do I trust that God is doing it for my good? Do I feel like God is being fair when I have to give up things that are easy for me to do something that's harder for me? Do I feel like that's fair? And I would have consciously said, yes, I know that God's good. I know that God's fair. I know that God loves me. But inside me, there was something that was just like, ugh, I really still don't like this. And so what God reminded me of is, I don't know how many years ago, but I started doing a teaching rotation on our Wednesday nights. And so once a month, I began to teach. And wouldn't you know, when I started doing that, I had these same feelings. I would dread Wednesday nights when I had to teach. And I'd be like, oh, God, I have to prepare. And it's so hard, and I got to get up and talk. And what if I can't talk for an hour? What if I run out of things to say? Because I was not a kid like Xavier who could just get up here and talk. That wasn't me. I was a kid, if I had to speak in front of people, I would feel clammy. My stomach would feel like it was in knots. And I just had to get through it, right? So that wasn't easy for me. But what God shows me is, you were obedient. You did it. And now I actually look forward to Wednesday nights, even when I'm teaching. I'm like, yes, you know, I get to teach this week. And God, what do you have for us? And my perspective has changed. God doesn't want to heal just one little area. He wants to heal your whole life, which makes you see things differently than you did before. And so I felt like, because like I said, I'm like, God, why do I have to share that? Like, it's just between me and you, and it's good, and I'm working on it, it's good. But God says in his word, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And this is my testimony in the works. I haven't come to the end of it yet, but someday I will, and you guys all get to be a part of that journey. And you can say, I remember when she got up there and talked about how her struggle was every single time she got up there. Because I'm believing there's a day it's not going to be a struggle. Because God's changing my perspective. He's changing who I am. And I share that because if God's not having you do something that's difficult, I encourage you to search yourself and say, God, am I really doing everything you want me to do? Because if you're only doing what's easy and convenient, I don't know if you're doing it all. The Bible says that when we are weak, that's when he is strong. So if everything you're doing in your own strength, then where is God being strong in that? Where is he showing you what you can do beyond yourself? I think he's calling us to do something deeper and greater than we did before. But it takes our willingness to say yes. Even this week, because again, as I said, I'm feeling, you know, there's all this stuff I got to prepare for, all this stuff coming up. And the one day, Joe just asked me a simple question about how I was feeling. That was like a floodgate. I'm like, whoa. And so being the wonderful husband he is, and how he can put a sermon together in an hour, and it takes me, you know, 2 days, and then plus a week of notes and all this stuff. He's like, do you want me just to preach on Sunday? And I said, I can't because I mean, that would be the easy way out, but I can't because God told me to do it. And church, that's what I'm saying. Even when it's hard, when you choose to be obedient, that's when you get to the testimony. That's when you can say, it was a test. It really was a test. We want this fluffy testimony about what God did, but we don't want to go through the challenge of getting there. And if you can do it in yourself, why do you need God? He wants us to do things that are beyond us. But we have to be willing to take that step of faith. So today we're talking about wholeness in our physical body. And you see the circle there that talks about body, soul, and spirit. And so next week Brother Wagers is preaching, but the week after we will pick this back up and Pastor Joe will talk about wholeness in the soul. And then I will end it with wholeness in the spirit. But today we're focusing on the body. If you show that next image, that just shows the body. And there's a physiological, the body is physiological, which is just a fancy word that means it's the study of how the human body works. Physiology is stuff that you can touch, you can feel. It's your being right in front of you that you can see, right? So that's the physiology. Our body is also connected to world consciousness, it says. So world consciousness is how we view things, how we fit into society. And so if you think about your body, where you were born determines your world consciousness. If you were born in the United States versus Africa, you see things way different based on your physical location of where you were born. The clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, all of that is based on your physicality of where you were born, where you live, and what you physically experience. Our body also relates to our environment. And I think this one's really cool because when I think about relating to our environment, God put things in our body. So when it gets hot, what does our body do? I really try to avoid that. But that's God's mechanism. And I hate science, but I know enough from science that says sweat is actually a good thing because it cools your body down because your body's too hot, right? So I just try not to get too hot in the first place because I don't want to sweat. But that's what God did in our body so it can relate to our environment. When you get too cold, what do? You shiver. You want to go grab a blanket, right? But if you don't have a blanket, then you just shiver. Again, that's your body's natural response. Your muscles are moving really fast to try to warm you up. God did that so that our body can relate to the environment around us. Adaptations. People who live in places where it is super sunny all the time and really hot, their skin naturally gets darker. It's an adaptation. So that is how our body relates to the environment around us. And so today that's what we're talking about, our physical body. And then I'll remind you what Pastor Joe said about the definition of wholeness. He talked about including its harmony and unity, so everything is working together. And I love the part it talks about unbroken and undamaged. So when we think about our body being unbroken and undamaged, we typically think of physical healing. So if you have a broken leg, you want it to be healed, right? So you can be whole. But today I felt like God really took me a different direction, and he said we need to lay a foundation. How many of you have ever prayed for something to be healed physically and it didn't happen? And so I felt like God said go really, really deep into the basics of who I am. Because sometimes we don't receive the healing because we have a misunderstanding of the foundation that God has given us, of how he relates to us, of our relationship with him. So the first question I want to ask you is, how does God view our body, our physical body? How does he see it? And we're going to go into Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn, or you can look on the screen. I do want to say, if you do not have a physical Bible or a digital Bible, please see us, because you shouldn't just be reading the screen once a week, right? It is important to read the Word of God every day. So if you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We will make sure you get one. But in here, we do have the convenience of the screen. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Yet now he," referring to God, "has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body." So Jesus Christ came to the earth and he took on a body just like ours. A body like this, that if it got too hot, he was going to sweat. If it got too cold, he was going to shiver. He took on this physical body. And what did we see Christ do in his physical body? He did everything God told him to. He said, "I don't do anything unless I hear my Father say it." So right there, we see the first example of what we should be doing with our physical bodies. We should be obeying God and everything he said. And just as God had a plan for Jesus Christ that he needed to fulfill with his 33 years that he was allotted to in this earth, God has a plan for your physical body, for your life, with however many years he gives you. He has something for you to do. And the question is, are you doing it? So we are reconciled through Christ and his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. Everyone say, holy and blameless. As you stand before him without a single fault. What? I guarantee you, I've lived 41 years now. They have not been all holy and blameless years. But through Jesus Christ, it's like a brand new, clean slate. All the past is gone. It's washed away. It's a fresh start. And Pastor Joe was talking about that a little bit today. There's no shame. You're not bringing anything from the past with you. When you come to Christ, that's what God sees you. Body, soul, and spirit. He sees you holy and blameless. And coming into a relationship with him without any kind of fault. So if you're feeling guilt, that wasn't from God. That's the enemy trying to press you down because he's saying, once you repent, you're holy and blameless. But, everyone say but. So that is a word that has a condition. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. And that's what we continue to preach. Read your Bible. That's where the truth is. That's where the good news is. That's where you have to remind yourself and stand and do. Because you can drift. And you can walk away. And when that happens, then you're no longer holy and blameless. But God wants you to be, your body, to live holy and blamelessly before him. And it's possible. It is fully possible to do that. So God's view of your body is that it is holy and blameless as soon as you came to Christ. So you have to know God's word and stand firm in it. A second scripture I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now this is a scripture we use a lot in church. It's a metaphor that was used for the church, but it actually started talking about the physical body. And as we talk about the scripture, we forget the physical body part because we focus on the metaphor of the body of Christ, which is good also. But today, as we read it, I want you to keep in mind your physical body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts. My body right here, I have eyes, nose, ears, feet, toes, fingers, right? That's a lot of parts. I can't even count them all. I'm sure somebody has. But there's a lot of parts to us. The human body has many parts. But the many parts make up one body. They all come together and they have to work in harmony, in unity. They have to work together. And then skipping down to verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. So this past week, I stubbed my pinky toe. It's the one on the outside. I hit a wall, and guess what? It hurt. And so you know what my fingers did? They went and they rubbed that pinky toe. I was caring for that pinky toe, right? Because it hurt. And if that hurts, other parts of my body are like, ah. All the focus needs to go there because we need to make this better. And I grew up in a church culture where we believe in faith, right? I'm a firm believer in faith. But if I'm putting my faith in something and I don't see it happening and my body is suffering, I need to do something to get well. Because God says I need to care for my body. He said all my members need to work together and care for each other so they can function. Because I cannot fulfill the word of God and his purpose for my life if my body is injured. And so I've come to a place where I'm going to have faith and believe. But God, if I don't see my healing, I need to go to a doctor. I need to take medicine. I need to do something to get whole so I can continue to fulfill my purpose on this earth. And unfortunately, I have seen people die too young. I don't believe it was God's time. It's because their body wasn't being taken care of. They died before God's time was done. But it was their choice. And so I'm a firm believer that we have to care for the body that God has given us. So God views us that each part is healthy and functional within the body. All the members are healthy and functional. And that means we need to take care of every part of our body. Now with that, let me say this other little part. I've also seen people who will run to medicine immediately, who will run to the doctor immediately, right? Let's give God a chance because you may have missed a miracle just because you depended on the doctor way too quick. So let's give God time to do something in us. And what it really comes down to is just take a minute and say, God, what do I do about this? I stubbed my toe. What do I need to do? Do I need to pray and let it heal? Do I need to go see somebody? Do I need to put something on it? And let God lead you in that. Because that goes into my next part, my next question. Who does your body belong to? Who owns your body? The Christian answer would be God, right? And I don't want you to answer this out loud, but really think about it for yourself. Does God own your body? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're starting in verse 19. I love to hear Bible pages turning. That probably shows how old I am, because those young teenagers wouldn't even think twice about it, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And right there we could stop and say, that's why we say this is not the church, this building here, because you and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ, he puts his Holy Spirit within you to lead you and to guide you. So everywhere that you go, that's where the church is. Because of this verse right here, the Holy Spirit is living within you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God. And so that high price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And this week, as I was thinking about that, I thought sometimes people get caught up in that and they don't understand it. They're like, I know that I sin. I admit that I've sinned. Does anyone here not think they've ever sinned? We all know that part, right? And a lot of people will know that Jesus lived, and a lot of them will believe that he died. That's usually not too debatable. But the part people get hung up on is why. Why did sin require death? And we could go into a lot of the theology of it, but here's what I really want to say for today. It doesn't matter. The Bible says sin required death, so what I want you to do, instead of asking why, just say, do I believe that I sinned, and do I believe that he died? And if I can come to that point and say, I sinned, I needed a Savior, and he died for me, start there. Just start there. You don't have to have it all figured out as to why everything works the way it did. Just trust God enough that he knows why it had to happen, and so he made a way for it to happen. Amen? Sometimes we get complicated, and it's like, you just need Jesus. And today we're going to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus, because you need him, and it will change your perspective. It will change your entire life. One encounter with him will make you holy and blameless. You don't have to have it all figured out why. You just come and say, I believe it. I believe it. So it was a high price that he gave. So you must honor God with your body. And so that what that tells me is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're giving him glory through it. So whatever he wants us to do, if he owns us, then that's what we need to do. I was thinking of, let me see if I want to read this next scripture first. Yeah, we'll read the next scripture first, then we'll go into that. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Do not let sin, or that's your old nature before you came to Christ, do not let that old nature control you in the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So how or who owns our body? God does. Who does our body belong to? It belongs to God. If you are a Christian, it belongs to God. And what I was thinking about that is that makes him responsible. Any of you own your own house? Who's responsible to pay the taxes for that house? Who's responsible to fix it up when it breaks down? Who's responsible to mow the yard or pay someone to mow the yard or make sure the yard gets mowed? So if I don't own myself, am I responsible to fix myself when I'm broken? We have a rental, and actually I love our renters. They might be here today. They fix a lot of stuff, but they don't have to. All they have to do is call and talk to us and tell us. So if something's going on in my body, what I have to do, say, God, got this going on. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to fix this? And this is the part where I think we've missed it. We take the control. We take the responsibility. We feel like we have to figure it out. It's not ours. If God owns us, we just have to do what he tells us to do about it. And that's where I go back to saying, did he tell you to go see a doctor or did you just go? Did he tell you to stay and have faith and pray and believe for it or did you just stay? What is God saying? Because he's the one who should be responsible for what's going on in your physical body. But I think a lot of times we leave him out of it. We'll stand on his word, and we'll say, this is what your word says. But what is he saying to you for that moment, for that situation, for the issue going on? If we can grasp that, it is actually very freeing to realize, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to figure this out. I just have to hear what God's telling me to do. And that's it. That's it. It's as simple as that. I want God to be in control of my body. I want him to own me. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do this illustration because I wasn't planning to, but I think we're going to do it. I had asked for some handcuffs for a different skit we're doing Saturday, but they were brought to me today, so we're going to use them. Pastor Joe, can you find the key? Because once I put these on someone, okay. We want to make sure we have that before we use it, right? I don't want anyone to get stuck forever. Saying that, who wants to volunteer for me today? Kendall, come on up. Now that she knows I have the key, she doesn't mind volunteering, right? My funny story when I was a kid, my uncle used to be a cop, and I put handcuffs on, just sitting watching TV. They were sitting there, whatever. He had lost the key. So I was like probably third, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. And I'm like, where's the key at? He's like, oh, you didn't put those on, did you? Because we lost the key a long time ago. And I'm like, what? So we had to call the police to come and let me out of the handcuffs in their house. So sometimes people also get confused about this whole owning process. When God created us, we were free. Nobody owned us. We had free will. He gave us dominion over this whole earth. He said it all belongs to you. Adam and Eve gave it up, not intentionally, on accident. So basically they sold themselves into slavery by making a choice where they gave the devil control. So now, even today, the devil controls this earth. He has control of this world. So we sold ourselves to the devil, to the enemy, and now we were slaves to do what our sinful nature desires. And people can think they're free in the world, but they're not. They're not. They're going to do things that they don't want to do at times. Have you ever not wanted? I've never drank alcohol much, but some people get addicted to alcohol. They can say they're free, but they're not. That controls them. And so let's go to something else. Maybe you like to shop, and you say you're free, and you can just go spend money and do whatever you want, but have you ever spent too much money? Have you ever put something on a credit card that you didn't really have the money for? Guess what? You're a slave to sin. You think you can do what you want, but you really can't. Let's talk about food. Anyone like to eat? Anyone ever eat too much? Well, why did you do that? If you're in control, why did you eat more than you should have ate? Anyone feel sick because they ate too much? So, were you in control? You are a slave to sin, and it's not just about drugs and alcohol. When you live in this world, you are a slave to sin, whether you realize it or not, and most of the world doesn't realize. They think they're making their own choices, but you're not. You're a sin to what's going on in this world, in this culture. So what happened, and this is why Jesus had to die for us, he came and paid the price that we owed, that we couldn't pay, and he set us free. I put him on backwards. But he didn't have to set us free. He bought us, so he owned us. Good luck, Kendall. All right, I'm going to let you do that one. Can you do that one? So when you buy something, it belongs to you, right? So he had every right to keep us as slaves. He owned us. He paid for us. And when you accept his blood, he's saying, I paid for you. I bought you back. But what he does then is he sets us free and says, okay, I do own you. You belong to me, but I'm giving you that free choice back. I could make you serve me because you belong to me, and I could keep you locked up, but I don't want to do that. This body right here, God owns it, but he's saying, Kendall, do you want to control yourself, or I can control you? I'm going to leave it up to you. Thank you, Kendall. Can you give her a hand? A little bit of improv there. Thank you, Rob. Brought those handcuffs right away, and we just needed them today and didn't even know it. But that's what it means to be owned. God owns you. He does. If you're a Christian, he owns you, but he's not going to force you to listen to him. But if you choose to listen to him, he takes all the responsibility. Have you ever seen that kid? Anyone ever had that child? Where they're trying to tie their shoes and they're making a mess of it, and you're like, let me help you. What do some of those kids say? I can do it. I can do it. Nope, don't need you. Any of you ever done that with God? I can do it. I got it. I'll figure it out. And what you're saying is, I don't need you. What God's telling us is we do need him. He wants to take that responsibility and that weight off of our shoulders, and he can bear it better than you ever could. And he knows what your body needs, when it needs it, how it needs it. But are you going to let him keep that responsibility? And so my last question I'm going to ask you tonight is, how do we become whole? How do we say, yes, God, I'm keeping the responsibility with you. I'm letting you own me. How do we do that? How do we walk that out practically? And the answer is, you let him be Lord. The word Lord means having the power, the authority, and the influence. You let him. Everyone say, let him, because he's not going to make you. But you let him have the power over your body, over your life. You let him have the authority where what he says you're going to do. You let him have the influence where you're not listening to everybody else around you, but you're letting him influence you. That's the way that you let him be the Lord of your life. And what I see in the church world is a lot of people have let him be their savior, but they have not let him be their Lord. And there's a huge difference. And I don't have the scripture up there, but there's a very scary scripture that says people will stand before judgment after they die, and they'll say, Lord, Lord. They're using that word now, aren't they? Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We've done miracles in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I don't even know you. I never knew you. And what that tells me is they weren't letting him really be the Lord. Now they understood. Now they're seeing it. But you got to see it now, not then. You got to determine now. I'm not in control of my life. God, you are. You have the authority over me. And this week, God gave me this illustration I was thinking about between Lord and Savior. And I've heard Pastor Joe say, when you're saved, he's saving you from death. You're not drowning, you're dead in the bottom of the sea. That's When you're in the world, that's what it is. Your spirit man is dead and you are drowned at the bottom of the sea. He rescues you out of that sea, out of the ocean. He breathes life into you and you become alive again. That's being saved. But then what he says to you is, come live in my kingdom. Come follow me. Come let me show you the way that you were meant to live. And when you live in his kingdom, guess what? He has rules. Anyone have rules in your house? Are your rules the same as my rules? Probably not. So are God's rules the same as my rules? Probably not. But if I'm going to live in his kingdom, guess whose rules I have to follow? Not mine. I don't have to agree with his rules, but if I'm going to be in his kingdom, I have to obey them. And so being Lord means I'm not staying at this place where I just got rescued and standing here and staying where I'm at, but I'm following. And when he's telling me his rules, when he's telling me what to do, when he's telling me how to live, I'm obeying. And that's the difference between being saved, where I'm rescued, yay, I got my life back, to letting him be Lord, where he's now in control because he knows what's better for me. I'm not going to drown again as long as I'm following him. But if I stay there, guess what? I'll probably drown again pretty soon. He wants to be Lord of your life, which means he gets to set the rules. He has the responsibility of caring for you. And so two more scriptures I want to look at, and then we're going to close. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to talk about just a couple of the rules that God has for us. What we need to understand, he doesn't do rules just because he's like, I think this will be a good rule. He does it because there's purpose behind it, because he knows it's good for us, because he knows we need it. And that's where we can see him as a good father. He's not doing things just to make our life miserable. He's doing it to make our life better. And so one of the rules that we see is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. He says, keep watch and pray. Prayer's not punishment, guys. Prayer is, he's saying, you need to keep talking to me. You need to stay in communication with me. That's the only way this is going to work. It's not just 5 minutes on a Sunday morning. It's a daily, I need to talk to God. Because otherwise, I don't know what he wants me to do. He says, keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation. It's better for us, guys. This is better for us. He says, your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. And the last scripture I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And this is because our body is weak. This is what we need to do. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I discipline. Everyone say discipline. Ooh-wee. How many just love that word? Anybody love to discipline your children? Anybody love to be disciplined? No, we don't love it, but we need it. And the word discipline there actually means beat black and blue. So I'm not going to say anything to people who think we shouldn't spank our children. We're not even going to go there, right? But discipline means to beat black and blue and to handle roughly. So with our flesh, with our body, we can't just say, oh, it's going to be okay. You can just do whatever you want to do. No. You say, listen here, self. Knock it off. I know you want to eat a fifth piece of cake, but God told you to stop after one. That's discipline, right? I mean, true discipline, stopping after one. But at some point, start disciplining yourself and say, no, enough is enough. I think we can all relate to food, right? That's one that a lot of us don't want to discipline. And God's saying, be disciplined. Why does our body have some of the issues it has? Because we're not disciplining ourselves. We're not following God's rules. We're in control and we're taking the responsibility and we're making a mess of it. So if you want your body to be whole and healthy, do it God's way. It's as simple as that. You do it God's way. And then he has the full responsibility. You know something I don't like is if I tell my kids to do something and they don't, and they go make a mess of things. Let's use an example. If I say go clean your room, because, you know, it's a little bit messy. It's just a little bit. Let's clean it up. And they don't, and a week later, guess what happens? That room's not a little bit messy. It looks like a hurricane went through there. And now they want my help. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was going to help you when it was a little messy, but now it's, you know, it's out of control. And that's what we do with God. Oh, God, I'm, you know, this is just a little issue. I'm going to take care of it. I don't need you in this. Until now it's a full-blown issue. And you're like, oh, God, help me, help me, help me. If we give him control from the very beginning, then we're going to be whole. We're going to be healthy. He's going to deal with those things before they become out of control. Now, the good thing is God's still willing to do it whenever you come. But there's so much we could avoid just by doing it his way from the beginning. And so there's a couple things I want to do in this altar time because I feel like we need to take some time. And I feel like this is for everyone. I don't know that there's a single person that shouldn't respond to what God's wanting to do in you today because it is he has chosen all of you. Maybe you've never ever heard of him, never served him. Guess what? He created you, he loved you, and he has a purpose for you. Maybe you've been a Christian for 50 years, but guess what? You need to still come and say, God, search me. What's in me that you want to work with now? So I think it's vitally important for us all to take time and say, God, your way is better. I believe it's better. And you have an opportunity today to let him change your perspective. We're not asking him just to heal one issue. You may have something going on in your physical life right now, a physical issue. But I believe if you do this and you come to him and say, God, I'm giving you all of me, not just this one thing. I'm giving you all of me. He'll take care of the one thing. And he'll take care of a lot of other things because it's his responsibility. So I'm going to ask you to make sure that he's the Lord of your life, not just your Savior. And if you want to ask him into your heart for the first time today and you don't know how to do that, come find me. Even if I'm praying, you can interrupt me. It's all right. Because I can tell you that's the best life you will ever live, ever. Can I hear the Christians say amen? When you do things God's way, oh my goodness. It is like night and day difference. If you're dealing with anxiety and depression and you're dealing with suicidal thoughts and you're dealing with all this stuff that you can't control, it's because you weren't meant to control it. It's too heavy for you. And it's not because you're weak, it's because you're human. Any other humans in the room? You're human. It wasn't for you to carry. God created you for a relationship with him. And it's only when you find that do you realize that this life can be really good. That's the only way this life can be really good. Make him Lord. And today is representation that we're going to offer communion. Communion represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. That even if you don't understand it, it's okay. What you do is you take the cracker and you drink the juice and remember, Jesus Christ loved me so much that he died for me. And I may not understand why, but wow. Wow. He died for me even when I wasn't living right. He died for me when my life was a mess. He died for me because he knew that I was valuable when no one else thought I was valuable. And when you recognize who he is and you remember what he's done, How can you help but say, God, I need you to be Lord. I need you to control this mess because I'm a mess without you. I'm not smart enough to figure out this life. I need you. And so I'm going to invite everyone, anyone, to find a place to take communion if you'd like in your own time. If you want to sit and pray and talk to God for a while and then take communion. If you want to take communion first, but we're doing it individually because today I felt like God says this is between me and my people, one-on-one. You need to hear God's voice and his instructions. And again, I'm going to say one more time, if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to accept him as your Savior, find me, and I'm more than happy. Find Pastor Joe. We are more than happy to pray with you. So everybody, let's pray.
Praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, as I often do, but every song must end. You never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. It's all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart sick. Hallelujah,
sing it to him. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
So thankful that you sent Jesus in bodily form. He became like us and dwelt among us. And he gave his body for our body so that we could be made whole. God, we thank you for wholeness. And in return, Lord, we, because of the freedom you've given us, we have the choice to do this. So we give our bodies to you now as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. For this is just our reasonable worship. It makes sense, God. It makes sense that we would give our body to you because your Son gave his body for us. And in doing so, Lord, we receive wholeness in our bodies. God, we know that your word says that you'd sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you that our bodies are sanctified unto you. Father, as we have received of the bread in remembrance of your body, God, we just declare that this body belongs to you. And as we received the juice as remembrance of your blood, we declare that anything that's in these bodies that needed redemption, it has been redeemed back not only to us, but back to you, God. Our bodies are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We receive that right now with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for healing. We thank you for wholeness, Lord. We thank you for blessing. We thank you for strength. We thank you for peace and rest. May your grace be multiplied unto each and every one of us. May your hand of blessing rest upon our lives and our homes. May your face shine upon us as we walk and live in your grace and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you all. Have a wonderful Sunday.